Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. We got to talk about that Real Housewives of New Jersey reunion. Part one just aired. Ah, you guys, it was thrilling. It was such a good reunion. Now, you know, on Everything Iconic, we don't always recap them, but I felt like I had to take to the microphone because part one was so exciting. Still, after all these years, that Joe-Melissa-Teresa dynamic excites me. Although I will say that this show has ruined that family, unfortunately. I mean, it's sad to see that part of it. However, I can't even imagine how they still manage to excite and thrill and bring compelling television after so many years exploring this dynamic. You know, sometimes I tune in, I'm like, what more can we see from these people, from Teresa, Joe, and Melissa? And yet then they bring it. Then they bring it. And I just have to say, wow. In the words of Ramona Singer, wow, that's wow. That's wow. I can't believe it. After we talk about the New Jersey Housewives, I have an interview with Jake Borelli, who stars on Grey's Anatomy, which is currently in its 18th season. The finale is going to be the 400th episode. Jake plays Dr. Schmidt, one of the gay characters on the show. He's also out in his real life. I'm super excited for you guys to hear my chat with Jake Borelli. I've been watching Grey's. I keep telling you guys, I'm going down with that ship. 18 seasons in, I'm still tuning in. So I hope you guys stay tuned for that after New Jersey. But New Jersey, okay. Okay, sit tight, little bear, because we got to talk about this. Now, I knew that we were in for a treat of a reunion because when I sat down to watch it, the women were all seated on their couches. Now, we know on the other reunions, oftentimes we see the women backstage arriving. We see them getting ready. We see Andy go to the dressing room and say, hey, what's going on? How you feeling? What's new? What are you excited to explore during this reunion? And this time they were like, no, we got to sit with the women. We got to start with the women seated at the couches because we got too much content to get through. And boy, did they ever. Boy, did they ever. Also made me laugh, by the way, because they sat down and Andy's like, we last left you all in Nashville. And it was such a memorable episode that we wanted to recreate the Nashville set. And they do that on a lot of the reunions, right? Like we'll see them do the set design based off the exciting episodes that happened in the season. So now we're getting kind of a cowboy Nashville theme for the New Jersey Housewives. But over on the Orange County Housewives, when they had their reunion, they didn't have anything memorable. So Andy was just like, well, we decorated it like Orange County. It was so sad. Nothing memorable happened with Hip and Casita, so we just put an Orange County sign up and said, let's go. Roll tape. Then they just went for it. Anyway, the New Jersey Housewives, you guys, it opened with black and white footage. We saw that sort of trailer that we already knew. And then when they said three parts, I was happy for the women because they get more money based off the more parts of the reunion. That's why it was so controversial that the New York women never had their reunion because they didn't get paid then. They didn't get paid for those three episodes. So the New Jersey women, they knew they had to bring it, and they sure did. We see Andy ask all the women when they're seated the questions. He says, how are you doing? And then what's going on? He's asking Jen about the nose and the chin. And I kind of would like, you know, I love my Andy. You know, we love Andy. He's so good at his job, and he's great at these reunions, and I couldn't imagine anyone else hosting these reunions. No one else would do as good of a job. No one. But I would like to retire the question about Jen's nose and her face and that kind of thing. Let her do with her body what she wants to do with her body, and let's stop talking. I mean, I feel like we've ad nauseum talked about it. She looks good. Whatever she wants to look like, let her look like. And the thing about the surgery that bothers me is like, we know that she's opened up about it on the show, and she's gotten rid of the chin implant. And so I could only imagine what mental torture that woman's put herself through after these surgeries, after they didn't go the way that she thought they were going to go. And now to keep asking her and keep digging up about the nose and the chin, I'm just like,
okay, you can't do it. I can't.
Now, Jackie says she is working with a full team now in terms of her eating issues. Teresa's got the mirror dress on, which I don't love the mirror dress. I don't love. Andy said to her, I feel like I'm at the Roxy now, which made me laugh. Because he was like looking at it. And I think I didn't like it either because it was so distracted. Every time they'd be fighting, I'd get like a gleam in my eye and I'd go blind for a second because I couldn't see because there would be some glare from Teresa's dress. It wasn't conducive to camera. You know, sometimes I don't know if anyone's ever done any on-camera work. They tell you not to wear certain things. Not just logos. I don't think you're supposed to wear mirrored glass on your dress either because it's not good on camera. It's not good on camera. Teresa also just had the appendectomy 1 week prior to this. And I was concerned because you all know, if you've listened to the podcast, I had to have an emergency appendectomy a couple years ago. The appendix burst. I thought something was coming out of me, a demon. Felt like a demon was coming out of me, inside of me. Because one night I was up all night. My stomach was in the worst pain ever. And I didn't know. I was like, did I have food poisoning or what? Eventually had to go to the emergency room in the morning and found out the appendix burst. I had to have emergency surgery. And it does take a little while. And I was hobbling around for quite some time. And then ultimately I found out I had some issues from the surgery. That is a tale for another time. But I was concerned about Tree because she was 1 week post-op. And obviously they say to Teresa, we need you to keep your anger under control. But we know that's not going to happen, right? We know that's just not who Teresa is ultimately. And so I was concerned because the appendix, you got raw stitches in there. Or raw, you know, you don't want them to burst. And I know the pain of the stomach post-op 1 week. God bless, she's there. She showed up, though. I think she deserves a raise for that, showing up at post-appendectomy. Now, Andy praises Dolores for opening up on camera about the David situation. She says she's uncomfortable about it. And I, of course, was looking at the seat placement of the seating. And I had heard a rumor that Jackie's been demoted to a friend of. I don't know if I believe that for next season. And we know that the people on the ends of the couches, those are the people who have to fight for their lives. So Melissa was on one end of one couch, and then Dolores was on the other end of another couch. And I was actually worried about both of them going into this reunion. And after part one, I think Melissa, as long as Joe Gorga doesn't actually quit, which I know he said he quit, and you could see in Melissa's eyes, she was freaking out when Joe Gorga quit the show. She was worried about her job because without Joe Gorga on the show, I don't know that Melissa's going to be sticking around. Ladies, am I right? So I think that she, you could see it going over in her eyes. She's like, no, Joe, don't. She was freaking out inside. Her internal monologue. I wish we had that mic'd up because that was whatever was going on internally with Melissa. She was freaking out if Joe Gorga quit. But so I think Melissa's fine for next season. And then Dolores, I think she must have felt like she had to step it up a little bit, and she did. I think with the Jennifer of it all, that dynamic, I'm excited to explore that because I wasn't expecting Jen and Dolores. Now, I've always felt like Dolores is actually better friends with the Margaret side of the couch, okay? She does have to fulfill her role in the show of defending Teresa blindly. However, I think in real life, her and Margaret are good friends. And so I think Dolores is kind of in this weird spot. And I think Teresa's obviously even over it too, because Teresa didn't invite Dolores to the engagement party. I couldn't believe that. And Dolores is not going to be in the wedding. Even Jen was invited to the engagement party. And the brother and sister-in-law, who we know Teresa hates Melissa. And I don't think she hates Joe, but she definitely hates Melissa. And then she sat them at a different table at the engagement party. But even Jennifer was invited to the engagement party, but no Dolo at the engagement party. So Dolores really has to bring it this reunion. And I think that whole fight with Jennifer, she kept saying, you're an effing liar. And then Jen's like, I'm done with your backhanded compliments. And then Dolores was like, you're disgusting. You're disgusting. You know, they always say disgusting on this show. Jersey women love to call each other disgusting or like garbage. They love to use that as an adjective. You're garbage. You're disgusting. You're a trash bag whore. And maybe it is a lower form of insult to call someone garbage or a trash whore. But I find it, I don't know. Maybe it's the Italianness. I find at home, myself at home with it. Anyway, Jackie and Jen, we explore that whole fight because Jackie, I really think, was sticking up for Jen. And that's the duo that I was excited about this season that unfortunately fell apart too early on. But they brought up that whole thing about Jackie was saying that we should be mad at Bill, not Jen taking all of the blame for the fire, for the cheating accusation, for the cheating thing with Bill and Jen. And Dolores really threw Jackie under the bus. And now there's this whole layered fight between Jackie, Jen, and Dolores because, of course, Jen and Dolores hate each other now. But Dolores was throwing Jackie under the bus about the Jen situation. So it's really layered. And now I'm hopeful for next season about this whole thing. And I don't know that I want Jackie demoted to a friend of. Now, that was the rumor. Again, these rumors come up all the time. And then we find out later they were all false. I mean, people really just say anything. And then they're false. So I don't know that it's true. And it seems to me that I don't even know if they've started filming for next season yet. So they probably don't even know on production side of who's full-time, who's not full-time. But I want the full cast to come back. My main thing is I just want to add people. Not like Tracy. Tracy, did anyone miss Tracy this reunion? I wonder if her name will ever even come up or if they'll bring her out for a segment. I miss when they would bring out Kim D. I would like them. Even this reunion, Andy said something about bring out Jacqueline because Jacqueline and Caroline came up. You guys, I love when the old people come up in the reunion. Jacqueline, they even brought up Kathy. I hadn't heard that name in years. I was sitting watching. I was smoking a cigarette. I was like, I haven't heard that name in years. You know, Kathy came up because they don't talk often about Kathy. I think Caroline and Jacqueline do come up. And of course, the way that Melissa joined the show seems to come up every single episode of this show, every single reunion episode. It comes up how Melissa was shady when she joined the show. Now, no one really knows the truth, right? There's three sides to every story. But I tend to believe Teresa with this one. I think that they did it a little shady the way that they joined the show. And I think that's what Teresa's never been able to get over. Because the fact that she threw it out there, and then she also threw out the thing about how they sided with Kathy for that Christmas dinner. It was like, Teresa can never get over these things. And so even though on the show they apologize to each other and they say they're getting over it, no one ever gets over anything on this show. I mean, they're still holding on to that. And I do feel bad because Joe and Melissa, I do think, try. But Teresa will never be able to get over that. She hates Melissa for that. And she's even finding things to hate about Melissa from before that. Like, I don't think they ever really liked each other, right? I think before the show, they kind of probably tried to get along. They were in each other's weddings. Melissa said, oh, you were in my wedding. And Teresa's like, well, you should have held off the wedding because I was pregnant, right? Which was silly. But I think that's Teresa trying to find other things to say of why she didn't like Melissa before the show. But I think the core of the issue is that Teresa felt ultimately betrayed by the way that Melissa and Joe joined the show because they didn't tell her in advance that they were going to be there or that they were filming. They kind of bamboozled her. They bamboozled her. And so I don't think no matter what Melissa and Joe do, no matter how much they apologize, no matter how much they stick up for their sister or whatever, it's never going to be enough. And I'm so happy we're finally getting rid of that artifice of saying that pretending that they're friends because they've never been friends on this show. We've tried to pretend that they are. But finally, Melissa, this episode, she said, okay, we should stop pretending we're close. We're not going to pretend we're close. Let's stop faking that we have a relationship. And I shouted I started clapping like a circus monkey. I was like, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's stop pretending and let's start getting real. The real world. In the words, are you guys watching that? The real world, New Orleans, it's on Paramount Plus. You got to watch it. It's so good. Anyway, I'm excited for them to stop being polite and start getting real. And that's what reality TV is meant to be. What else? The engagement party stuff with that is all very interesting to me. Again, the fact that Dolo was not invited. And Melissa was sitting at another table. She put him at the kids' table over in the corner of the engagement party. Oh, my God. And meanwhile, apparently, Louis's family's all at the table. And, you guys, Louis's family's all going to be in the wedding, but Melissa's not in the wedding. Oh, my God, you guys.
Uh-oh, hello!
This is intense. This is layered. This is intense. It's also revealed that Louis calls Joe a lot to talk about the show, which I was like, that was a little bit of a red flag for me. Obviously, we all want the best for Teresa. And it's a red flag to me that Louis's calling. And I don't know if that was true because I couldn't even tell who said it. Somebody said it, like Joe doesn't call Louis. And then somebody said, oh, Louis only calls Joe to talk about the show. I don't know. That was when Teresa brought up them joining the show and being friends with Caroline and Jacqueline. And this isn't always popular when I say this, but I think actually Caroline and Jacqueline should come back. I feel like that would spice things up. I don't know. But I would like, I don't know. That's not, whenever I say that, people are in my DMs, they yell at me. How dare I say that? Because I do like Teresa. I'm just saying, I think it could add an element to the show that, Jersey works best with the history, right? Like, these women have a history with each other. And I think the only people that have history with these women are the Kim D's, are the Carolines, are the Jacquelines. And I actually think there's a path forward for Jacqueline and Teresa, because I saw on Watch What Happens Live sort of recently, Teresa say something about like, well, I don't know. They had a good relationship, and I could see there could be a path forward. It's also revealed that Jen smokes a ton of pot, which was surprising to me. I didn't see Jen as a pot smoker, but I like it. Good for her. Oh, Andy asked Teresa to name examples of when Teresa had Melissa's back. And Teresa couldn't think of any examples. She said, let's roll the tape. Somebody help me remember. And then there was a blackout, you guys. I thought that was production being shady. I thought that was production saying, like, we have no examples because Teresa was like, roll tape. And I love when they say roll tape. They did it on the Orange County reunion, and then they did roll tape. But Teresa said, like, roll tape, but then they didn't have any tape to roll. Oh, I loved it. I'm just so happy this reunion is so good. And we talk about the daughters. We talk about Joe and Gia and the daughters. And Teresa says the daughters are strong-minded. And this was interesting. Melissa was like, well, how do you think Antonia feels about you? And I was hoping they'd wheel out Antonia. I know she was already kind of having a storyline in the season about whether or not she was cheerleading, all that stuff. But I actually wanted them to wheel out Antonia. I don't know why I keep saying wheel out, but I wanted them to bring out Antonia because I want to hear from Antonia. We've seen Gia get in the mix. Now I feel like Antonia is going to get in the mix next season. And I wonder. This thing, though, it does make me sad. They fight about the bitch boy thing and how Jen called Joe Gorga crooked. I feel bad for them all. The family has been torn apart, and Joe Gorga finally quits the show. Which, do I believe he actually quit the show? No, of course I do not. Does anyone believe that? No, of course he didn't. Of course he stormed off. He's not going to quit the show. They probably get some great paychecks, because I believe Joe and Melissa both get paid a pretty penny to appear on this show. And I'd imagine if they stick around for longer, they get a pay increase every year. And now if the kids are appearing more, if Antonia gets a main slot, if she gets to hold a, well, they don't hold anything in the intro, but if she gets to put her hand on the hip in the intro for in one of the future seasons, then of course Antonia's bringing in money for the family too. So I don't think Joe Gorga is going to quit. Do I think they probably should quit the show? Somebody should quit the show? Of course. If this was my family, I don't think it'd be good for us all to be on a TV show like this. And something's got to give. Something's got to give. Someone's got to quit the show. And ultimately, none of them are going to quit the show. And we're just going to go back and forth for years and years and years with Teresa and Joe and Melissa. And it's going to be compelling stuff. And I'm going to keep on watching. I'm going to keep going to bravotv.com for more information, because it's good TV. But it is sad. It is sad. And it does make me sad, because Jen is the one who keeps calling Joe Gorga crooked and all these things and the bitch boy. And Teresa doesn't stick up for the brother. And she does want the brother to stick up for her. And so there are double standards at play here. But again, I say that Teresa's never going to go over the fact that Melissa and Joe joined the show behind her back. So it's never going to happen. So bring out Kath. Bring out... I don't know why Kath. The name Kath makes me laugh anyway, Kathy. And then the idea of Kathy. Kathy wasn't made for this show. I think Rosie was more made for this show, but Kathy wasn't certainly made for this show. However, I would still like Kathy to pop in and just show me the cannolis and pop out. And that makes me sad too. Again, I think we've talked about this, but the fact that Kathy and Rosie have no relationship with either Teresa or Melissa is sad to me. It's their only cousin, Kath and Ro. And they don't have no relationship. That makes it so sad. The small Italian family now has been torn apart for these cameras. And I believe they would have had at least some relationship. I think Rosie and Teresa, they would have had an occasional meal or two throughout the years if it weren't for this television program. But now Rosie and Kathy, and I mean, they couldn't get over it. Remember that one reunion where Rosie was backstage and she's like, you shut your tongue. Or she was backstage yelling about killing Teresa's tongue or cutting off her tongue. So it was intense. It was intense is what I'm trying to say. Anyway, the episode ends with Joe Gorga quitting the show. I mean, this is a loaded reunion. I want the Orange County women's to take notes. I hope Hip was sitting at home taking notes. Casita, I hope she had a notepad out, a ruled binder of a notepad paper, because I think they need to be sitting down with a pen and paper and seeing how to do a reunion, because I think every woman on that stage on the New Jersey Housewives, they brought it. They were awake. They were wide awake, in the words of Katy Perry, bringing us good TV, good content. And so those other Orange County women, look alive, in the words of my father when I played baseball in Little League. Look alive, Danny. Look alive. And I need those Orange County women. I need all the other women to look alive in the way that these New Jersey women are looking. So thank you to the women. Thank you to Andy. And thank you to whoever produced this fantastic show, because I loved it. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I loved it. Okay, you guys, that's all I have for this. Next week, the Beverly Hills premiere is coming, so we're going to be covering that on Everything Iconic, and then I'm going to be on a little hiatus, but I will have new episodes, but I won't be doing a recap for, I think, about a week. It'll only be about a week, but I just want to let you know in advance. But we will be recapping Atlanta and Beverly Hills next week, so stay tuned. Lots to come, and then I also have some great guests coming up. Speaking of great guests, Jake Borelli stars on Grey's Anatomy. Please enjoy my chat. He plays Dr. Schmidt on Grey's, which is in its 18th season. I think one of the longest running shows in the history of television at this point. So good. So find Jake on social media. Find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino. You can order my book wherever books are sold. It's called How Do I Unremember This? And we will leave you with this chat. I want to thank Acast for all episodes of Everything Iconic. Go to acast.com/everythingiconic. Also, I just posted a new bonus episode over on the Patreon page, which is patreon.com/everythingiconic. If you donate $4 more per month, you get access to the bonus episodes. I'm recapping Sex and the City from the beginning. So I just posted a new recap of a season 2 episode over there. So check that out if you're interested. If not, I don't, you know, it's up to you. Anyway, I love you all so much for listening. Please enjoy my chat with Jake Borelli of Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Jake, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I mean, I've been a Grey's fan from the beginning. You joined in season 14. We're currently in season 18, right?
Yes. Yeah. Just finishing 18.
Okay. So tell me, by season 14, it was already this humongous show. Tell me about the process of joining the show. I would imagine you'd be super excited, and also it's intimidating to go on a set like that.
Oh yeah, it was insane. Literally, I didn't think I could ever be on this show. Like literally when I got the audition, I was like, that's not going to happen. And I had just moved to New York, and I had lived in LA for 8 years, and I was like trying something new in New York. And I got the audition at like 9 o'clock at night for the next day to tape. And I was like, I don't know anybody in this city. Like, how am I going to tape this audition? Plus, I'm never going to get Grey's Anatomy. Like, maybe I just won't do it. And so I called my friend, the only pretty much friend I had in New York at the time. And I was like, if she can tape this audition with me tomorrow at like 9 a.m. we can do it. If not, I don't know. And luckily she was available. Oh my God. We sent in the tape and booked it off the tape. And I ended up having to move back to LA after like 6 weeks in New York.
Okay. And so I think I read that you hadn't watched the show before joining. Is that correct?
Not really. I mean, I was like 14 or something when the show came out, 13. And my parents at that time were like, "Yeah, this is like mommy's show. Like, I don't know if you can watch this." And so I never watched it in the beginning. And then, you know, we didn't have Netflix back then where you could binge everything. So it was impossible to catch up. So I had seen like the big, like iconic moments here and there, but no, I hadn't watched it.
Oh my God, Jake, you missed out. I mean, those early seasons, I suppose a little bit older than you, because I remember season two, the big Denny, Katherine Heigl moment, Izzy L. Vadwire moment. Oh, I remember being in my freshman dorm and the girls on the floor. It was at Ohio University. I know you're from Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, but yeah.
I remember the young ladies on the floor, just every girls' room in the dorm had that finale on, and you could just hear everyone crying. It was like, I'll never forget that. It was like that, and I think the OC, I remember everyone in the dorms used to watch. But
yeah, I also missed the OC. I was like right after, but then my first roommate in LA was obsessed with the OC, and so now I've seen all of the OC.
I love that.
And since being on Grey's, I've now seen every single episode of Grey's twice. I've watched the whole thing all the way through.
Okay, so since you've watched the whole thing all the way through, like what are some of your favorites as a viewer from before you joined? Like, do you have a favorite storyline or arc or character?
Oh my gosh, I mean, the plane crash was intense. That was so cool, and it felt like a completely, like it almost felt like a movie. I loved that. Also, I would like loved Baby Gray, so Lexi, and like so that was super, super sad.
Yeah,
that's, I mean, that sticks out.
Some of it was so sad. I mean, so much of it, but it's such a good show. And you were actually one half of the first gay coupling on the show, which came after 14 years. And obviously Grey's is known for representation, but that was one specific area that hadn't been explored yet until you joined the show. And I'm curious, what's it been like? Representation is so important for television still to this day, but like, what do you hear from viewers? I mean, you must hear from a lot of people, and what's that like? Is it, what's the heaviness like for you? Tell me about that.
Oh,
does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I hear from people all the time about it, and it's so amazing to me because it's the same feelings that I felt, you know, watching the show and not seeing that sort of representation. You know, we had Calzona, but that was a lesbian relationship. And then here I am, this like young gay boy, and I didn't feel like I had that representation. And so the moment that I found out this storyline was coming, all the excitement that I had and the fear that I had was the same thing that I'm sure a lot of fans felt too. So to get to talk to them about it is incredible. To get to hear their stories is incredible. You know, still, even to this day, it's been, you know, 3 years since the character came out. And I still get messages on Instagram every single day from queer people of all types reaching out to me saying how much they feel seen by the character. And it's, I mean, it's huge. I still pinch myself.
Yeah. What's it like? You have a lot of scenes with Ellen Pompeo. What's it like working with her? I mean, she's been steering the ship for so long.
Yes. Yeah. It's incredible. I mean, in the beginning, it was like a masterclass in like television acting and like drama acting and stuff like that. It very much mirrored my own relationship or Levi's relationship with Meredith Grey. It was like, I was in awe and I was like so excited to be in all of these scenes. And now to be able to work with her for, you know, the past 5 years, it's incredible to see how she navigates, you know, being on the show and helming the show and really fighting for the story and for authenticity and how she supports the whole cast. It's incredible.
You know, in the early days of Grey's, there was just this book that came out. And of course, we've all heard the stories about the early days of the Grey's sets when there was so much tumultuous stuff going on behind the scenes. And I'm curious what the vibe is like now. I mean, of course, I've heard that it's much better, but what is it like on set these days?
Oh, it's great. I mean, you know, we all went through this like insane 2 years of awfulness. And, you know, for the past 2 years, these people were like my family, pretty much. We were our support system. And I have so much love for everybody. It's incredible. I mean, we just had our 400th episode big like rap party, and it was like the first time we had seen each other all without masks on, because it was outside and it was like a big celebration, and it was like, you know, seeing your family again. It was really, really cool, honestly.
What is coming up on the 400th? The 400th episode, I believe, is the season finale of season 18, right? So what do we have to look forward to? What can you tease? Can you give me something?
It's going to be a lot of Grays. It's going to be a lot of Grays. We got 2 hours coming for you on the season finale. So it'll be cool.
Jake, I need to know what happens. Do people, are characters killed? Do we lose people?
There's like still like 4 episodes before the finale where so much is going to happen. So even if I told you what happened in the finale, it wouldn't make sense. So much happens before it.
Okay. Are we losing any main cast members? That's what I need to know. Also, Jake, I actually do need to know this. What happened with Alex Karev? What happened there? What happened with, did the actor just decide he wanted to go his separate ways? What happened?
To be honest, I don't know. It's such a huge cast that it's like people come and go. And I mean, you know, Alex Karev was a character for 16 years. And, you know, I don't know.
I was devastated, Jake. I love that character so much. And obviously we grow so close to, we feel like we know you as viewers of Grey's Anatomy. And so when he specifically left, obviously I got really upset when Christina left. I still hold out hope for Izzy to come back. I mean, I was just listening to an interview with Ellen Pompeo and Kate Walsh, and I had asked you a few minutes ago about the working conditions on Grey's, and it was so fascinating because they were talking about how back in the day, Katherine Heigl was on a late night show, and she was talking about the long hours they were spending filming the show in the early days. And she got a lot of flack. She got a lot of heat for saying that it was, the hours were too long and it was too much. And Ellen and Kate were saying she was right. Like if we look back now, of course, hindsight's 20/20, but she was right about that specific, but she took so much heat. And so, you know, it's good to hear that the set, it seems like you guys all get along now and everything, because.
It was a different time back then. I mean, it was, you know, 15 years ago is a long time. And, you know, work rules were completely different at that point. The idea of like how a set should run is different. And also where we're at now is because of what happened back then too. You know what I mean? Like Ellen has fought to get certain rules changed or certain protocols changed on our set. And similarly, the executive producers of our show have fought too. You know, they're all behind trying to make, you know, television in general, a more, you know, a safe place to work, a place that is, you know, helps creativity, which is interesting. And also to go back to your other point, we have like a lot of characters leave the show, right? But we're seeing now a lot of characters come back. Like we have Sarah Drew coming back and Jesse Williams coming back. And then, so it's like, it doesn't seem to be that Grey's is like a place you ever truly leave either. So there's still hope.
And I think that's part of the greatness of the show too, is people can kind of come in and out. And for longtime viewers, we have a history with these characters that you don't get on any other show. I mean, because of the fact that it's been on 18 seasons, I mean, it's so rare in television to have such a long history with a character like Ellen Pompeo's or some of these other cast members who've been around for a while too. Yeah. Jake, what do you hope for next on Grey's Anatomy? Like how long do you see this going on for?
I hope it keeps going for a lot longer. Me too. I mean, it's hard to know. You know, there has been so many like endings written that have been unwritten, and so many storylines that seem to be tied up that end up, you know, coming back years later. And so I hope it keeps going on forever. As a huge fan of the show, I would love to keep it going.
Jake, before I let you go, I want to know these next two questions I ask all of my guests. So the first is your favorite Mariah Carey song. And the second is, if you were choosing for People Magazine Sexiest Man Alive, who would you choose?
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, this might make me even more of a nerd than I already am, but I would have to say for Mariah Carey, I love that Christmas special that she did during the pandemic. Because I was like, you know, we were all locked in our homes, and then these three beautiful angels come out and sing that song where her and Ariana hit that whistle note together. And we're just like over there, like on the side, like bopping. Like that's the first thing that comes to mind as my favorite Mariah Carey moment. Oh God. And then Sexiest Man Alive. I mean, I've got a lot of them. Honestly, Jonathan Bailey right now is on the top of my list from Bridgerton. Not to like continue plugging Shonda Lynn, but Bridgerton is so good.
They did a good job with casting over there on Bridgerton with the men. Yeah.
And he's doing that play Cock right now on the West End, which I'm like, I wish I could see so bad because I love that play.
Yeah. Was he the one who replaced Taron Egerton? Or did he?
No, they're together.
Oh,
yeah, it's the two of them. I don't know what's going on with Taron Egerton right now, but yeah.
Okay.
But I know he's on it.
Okay. Well, we love to see Cock. Jake, I
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
You mentioned you're a nerd. Your character's sort of a nerd. I mean, your character really is a nerd on Grey's Anatomy too, but are you a gamer yourself? I was reading that you about the character being a gamer, and I was wondering, are you a video gamer yourself? Because I'm a huge video game junkie. I specifically love the Nintendo stuff, but...
You know, my brothers were huge gamers, and I was very close in age to my brothers growing up, and so I was the youngest, and I would never get to play, but I loved watching, and then anytime they would, like, die or something in the game, they'd blame it on me. That's, like, my extent to video games, except for one time I snuck down in the basement to play Halo on one of their, like, I don't even know what you call it, like, their stories, which they hated because if I like ruined their like stats or whatever, they would get mad. And I snuck down in the basement with all the lights off. I like snuck into one of my brother's like logins. And then I didn't realize that in Halo, the first one, that your like controller shakes. And like when the aliens were coming down, like it was like, and the controller was shaking like this. And I was in the dark in the basement, and I got terrified, and I was like, never again, I'm not playing video games. And so the next time, other than like Mario Kart, the next time was on TV as Levi Schmidt.
I love that. Jake, what's anything else you want to let listeners know? Where can they find you on social media? All of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on everything. It's usually like Jake Borelli or Jake.Borelli, something. Jake.Borelli at Instagram is where I'm normally at.
Well, Jake, it was such a pleasure talking to you. I obviously love talking to anyone that's from Ohio. And so I'm so excited to see OHIO. Yes. Oh, Jake, I've had some good times at OHIO. You said you went to Ohio State?
I didn't go to Ohio State, but I grew up right next to Ohio State. And you went to OU? Is that the same as Ohio University?
Yeah, it's Ohio University. I spent my first 2 years there, and then I transferred, and I ultimately graduated from Kent because I was working, so I had to transfer closer to home. But I feel like my college experience was Ohio University. I mean, that's where I kind of
went. When I was like 16, I went down and did a film for like a thesis film for. A couple of people at OU, and it was called Peanut Butter, and it was like my first ever movie, and it was as a teenager down there.
Oh my God. I was probably in the TCOM. It was like called the TCOM program there, but because you're a little younger than me, I probably, who was the director? Do you know?
You honestly might've been there. Pat Norman.
I don't know him personally, but I know Pat Norman and peanut butter sounds really familiar. Anyway, Jake, I'm keeping you, but this was such a pleasure talking to you. Everyone can watch the season finale of Grey's Anatomy May 27th. Is that when it's on? May 26th? 26th.
In the end of May, it'll be a 2-hour finale.
And so it's your last episode, right?
It's my last episode. It's certainly my last episode of the season, as it is everyone's.
I'm trying my best, Jake, to get some scoop.
It's not my last episode. We got to get that juju out.
No, Jake, you're sticking around forever. And then we need the character to have a spinoff. Then we're doing a spinoff. Okay.
We'll go in and pitch that together.
Perfect. Jake, it's such a pleasure. Thank you so much. And congrats on all the success.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.